Kamar from the Erev HaBoker. So you don't need Dr. Kangaro to do Hadlokas HaMiner, it could be kosher, because Hedrick, so the Torah says Aharon HaGonav, either Aharon or one of the children. And the Torah repeats the Mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMiner later, and Parshas and more, there it says Aharon, it doesn't say Gonav. So Bavi HaFesis points this out, why did they leave out B'nai Aharon? So he gives a very interesting answer. That originally the din was that Aaron Avon, a kind of Hedy, was also good. But then, on the Shmini of Miluim, when Mesu, Bnei Aharon died because they went in and they did something, so Aaron was afraid to let his other two children go in on their own without him. So from that time on, from the Shmini of Miluim on, from Ashkhadish Nisnan, he insisted that he's going to take care of Habakkuk Amunet. He was afraid to entrust them with the mitzvah, all by themselves. The din was always the same. But in the Messias, he was afraid to entrust them to go in by themselves into the Hechel, lest they'll die like the other two brothers died. Interpretation. The main section in Parshas Kitzav is about the Big Lekuna. Repeat the Big Lekodesh Laman Achicha. And Rashi comments on the Pesach that these begotten are lekatsha lechano. Meaning that Islam should be day malayim kuhunos malayim. Ain't be day malayim, ain't kuhunos malayim. The Balei HaTosfos have a difficulty that the Gemara learns it out from a different Pesach. Rashi learns it out from this Pesach Gimel, in the beginning of the Perek Kol Ches Pesach Gimel. The Gemara Sanhedrin and in Brok learns it out from a different Pesach. They Takasha, okay, the Gitzin. But that's why what that the Gemara has, the Bibashi Emik Day Malay and Emik Nos Malay. Exactly, what does that mean? But let's say you have a Kohen who's not wearing Big Day Kunis, so he's permitted to marry a Grusha, and he doesn't get the first Aliyah. Emik Nos Malay and Havalei Zar. He must be Dinik Zar. How could that be? It's still exploring. The Mord Chaim Gitzin quotes on Gap Lumpet. In Gitzin, where the Mishnah lists up all of the Takonis that were made by the Tanoim, because the Darkei Sholem. So the Mishnah says that you always have to give the coin the first Aliyah and the same Darkei Sholem. The Gemara asks, what do you mean the same Darkei Sholem? You give the first Aliyah because it's a din in the third. The Kiddashto, and the Gemara, the Kiddashto in the beginning of Parshas Emor, means you have to be mechabed the coin, the Tzach Rishon Levarach Rishon Levitam Manu Yopa Rishon. You always have to be mechabed the coin with the first Aliyah and so on. The Gemara explains that in Atari we're going to be Merkel on his cover, and in the Rabbanon we don't allow it to be Merkel on his cover because it's made leak in the Hasid. And they cause friction in the shul. That sometimes it will be Merkel to some people. Allow them to take the first Aliyah. Sometimes it won't be Merkel, so the people will be angry. How come he wasn't Merkel to me and he was Merkel to the other one? So that's why the Merkel on the Rabbanon, that the claim is never permitted to be Merkel on his cover, and it's made action. But the fact that the claim gets the first Aliyah, that's not the same Dr. Shot, the Gemara says that's a real Dindarite. So on that Gemara in Gita in Perek HaNizok and on Daphne and Tess, the most I quote the story that quoted later on in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos and Sias Kapayim. The most I quote that the Rabbi Tam had a lot of Talmidim, and once one of the Talmidim was pouring water out of his hands for the purpose of an Achilles Gadayim. Because the Talmud who was pouring the water was a Kohen. So another one of the Talmidim asked the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbeinu Keter, asked the Rabbeinu Tam, that how was he allowed to let the Kohen pour the water on his hands? The Talmud Yerushalmi has a statement, Hamashamish the Kohen, Moal, that one who allows the Kohen to do his services, to service him is in violation of Me'ilah. Just like one of Zanim and Ahegdish is in violation of Me'ilah, but Ahegdish is here too. You're not permitted to allow a Kohen to do services for you. So Rabbi Tam answered that the student of his who was pouring the water by his hands was not wearing any Big Day Kuna. Obviously he didn't live his man abai. He wasn't wearing Big Day Kuna. And Allah says that his man shame is day malayim and kuna to malayim. So therefore there's no violation of Mishtamish B'Kohen law. So they asked Rabbi Tam, if that's so why does he have to get the first Aliyah? And why is he not permitted to be the son of a mason? And why is he not permitted to marry a grusha? All the dinim of kuhuna don't apply. That's not been a time in money against him. But the later, the achrenim say, that the Rasha Lechit likes to say this, so the achrenim say this pshat as well as printed, that the Rabbi Natan meant to say the following. The first answer Rabbi Natan gave was a good answer. Because the Hefreyach, you have to assume that there are two levels of Kedusha Kunish. There's Kedusha Kunish of Amigdosh, and there's Kedusha Kunish of Igulin. So in order to attain the higher level of Kedusha Kunish of Amigdosh, there the Pasuk requires, L'katsho l'chanomi, if he doesn't wear the big Dekuna, then he's not given that special higher level of Kedusha. But even without the big Dekuna, even without wearing big Dekuna, he certainly has the plain level of Kedushas Kuna, has Kedushas Kuna Shabigvulis. So the Easter of the Koyin to be Matam and the Mace, and the Easter of the Koyin to marry Kedushas Zayda V'chalolo, and the obligation to be Mechad V'chankin, the first telling you that depends on Kedushas Kuna Shabigvulis. That depends on the regular Kedushas Kuna. The ability of the Koyin to do Hakrobat HaKrobonis, that's a special bit of Kedushas Kuna Shabamigdash. That's a special halacha. So for that you have to have Big Day Kuna. So likewise, the Rabbein Tam felt that the passage in the Yerushalmi, the state in Yerushalmi, Hamishtamish v'koyin mo'al, one who allows the Koyin to service him, he himself is not a Koyin. It's considered as if he's in violation of Me'ila. What is Me'ila? Me'ila means one is men and Mikotchi HaMikdosh. So when do you consider the Kohanim as if they have a level of Dusha HaMikdosh if they wear a big Dekuna and they have the Dusha Kunash of HaMikdosh? But it's not Shemik Dei Malei, men Kunash Malei, if they're not wearing big Dekuna then they only have their regular Dusha Kunash. They don't have that higher level of Kedushas Kuna Shabamigdash. And then the Melech, there's no din of the Ila. The Ila is only when you're man in the Kochi Amigdash. And there is no din of Hashtamish B'Koyin by a plain Koyin. There's only a din of Hashtamish B'Koyin Moal. There's a din of the Ila when he has the Kedushas Kuna Shabamigdash, then it's a din of the Ila. Anyway, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on that Pei Gimel, that Pei Dalet, also says, which lists off the Eilu Shedemisa, lists off all of those people who violate Averis for which the Einish is Misa B'dei Shamayim. And one of them is, if a Koyin does Averis HaKabonis, Luchus B'Gonim. If the Koyin is not wearing the big Dekuna that he's supposed to wear, so the Gemara explains where did the concept to get that from, because we have, if we put together two and two over here, we're adding 2 points together. The other passage in the form is that says that a zar akorah human, because zar means a non-coin. Zar akorah means that a non-coin does avoid itself for brothers, so he's chayim into the day shaman. Then we have this passage that implies, yizman she'im yigdei malayim, en kunas malayim havalei zar. Yizman that is not wearing big day kuna, he doesn't have that higher level of kushis kuna, shabamidosh, and he's like a regular zar, but he gets to avoid it. He's not a regular zar. He's a plain coin, but he doesn't have the higher level of kushis kuna, shabamidosh. And the Mela Havalei Zar, the Zar Sheshimish B'Mitzvah. That's how the Gemara derives this din of the Tosefta. That one who does Avoda, Mechusa B'Gadin, is B'Mitzvah B'Dei Shamayim. The Gemara says the Akudim, Mechusa B'Gadin and Mechusa B'Gadin. The Gemara in Zlochim, in the second parish, has a lot about the Big Dekuna. Has all the dinim about it. The Gemara in Yuma has a little bit about Big Dekuna, and the Gemara in Zlochim, in the second parish, has. So the Gemara in the second parish in Zlochim says that just like Mechus of the Godim is She'ovar, is Avedos of Tzul, Achilel, if a Koyin does Avedos of Kodbonim without wearing any big Dekuna, just wearing his regular suit, or is not wearing all of the big Dekuna, he's only wearing 3 out of the 4. Koyin Hezi has to wear 4 big Dekuna, and Koyin Gadol has to wear Shmona big Dekuna, 8 Dekuna. So even if the Koyin Gadol is wearing, let's say, the 4 out of the 8 big Dekuna Gadol, which corresponds to the Koyin Hezi, and he does an avoda which a Koyin Hezi could have just as well done. But he's just going to do Hadlokas HaMedarah, he's just going to do Zmikas HaDama of the Kodim Tavim. He's not going to do avoda Shem with Kippur Menege. He's going to do a plain avoda that you don't even need a Koyin Gadol for. So if he's going to wear the 4 begotim that a plain Koyin Hezi wears, so it's going to be avodas HaMecholot, it's going to be Tavim. Because he has to wear Shemayim begotim and a Koyin Hezi has to wear Arba begotim. So if any Koyin is Mechus of the Godim, or any Koyin is Mute of the Godim, so then it's Avodah to Mechulelos. Avodah is no good. And that Gemara, on the din of Mute of the Godim, there is a Machlokes, and it's 2 points out. There is a Machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. What constitutes Mute of the Godim? The Rambam on the last page, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdosh. Klei HaMikdosh, the Rambam has the furniture of the Beit HaMikdosh, the Kelim. Then he has the Big Dekuna. And then he has the other Stam Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash. Not furniture that, like we have in our home, we have different Kalim. We have furniture that sits still in one spot. Then you have forks and knives. Then you have suits that are hanging in the closet, you have dresses that are hanging, these are all called Klei HaMikdash in the Rambam. In the very last page in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam quotes that Gemara of Miyuta Begodim, Perek Yud Halacha Hey, in Klei HaMikdash, Kishem Shai Mechusi Begodim Chai Mitra, Ol Toitel Ha, Avoida Kach HaYester Begodim. If it is Miyuta Begodim, Shal Lovash Shtei Ksonot, O Shnei Avnei Tim, Ol Koin Hegit Shal Lovash Bidde Koin Gorol, Ro Ovat, Harei De Mechal Lavoida Vachai Mitra Begodim Shemaim, the same thing. Miyuta Begodim is the same as Mechusi Begodim, and he's a Zahar, and he's Mitra Begodim Shemaim, the whole word. So there are two points out from the Rambam, it sounds like it's only considered miyuta begodim if you're wearing an extra begad of the big day kuna. He gives you an example. The kain hegid puts on the shmona begodim of the kain godel. The kain hegid wears two, he's supposed to wear one ksonos, he wears two ksonos. Or two avnetim, two garfos, instead of wearing one. And what if the kain hegid, let's say, is wearing the arbor begodim, and then he puts on, let's say, they don't wear socks. They don't wear shoes and socks with a time do the other. He's going to wear socks, but his Gemara says when he's walking, that's going to be a chatzitza between his floor, between his foot and the floor. If he's going to wear gloves when he does avodah, that's going to be a chatzitza between his hand and the klisharis. But let's say he's going to hold the klisharis with the right hand, he's going to put a glove on the left hand. Or let's say he's chilling, he's going to wear a scarf around his neck. So it's not a chatzitza between his body and the floor, not a chatzitza between his body and the klisharis that he's doing avodah. It's just an extra second. He likes to wear a tie. He wears a bob gadol, he's wearing a tie. So would that be miyuta begodim or not? So that's the machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like it says it's only considered miyuta begodim if you're wearing an extra begad of the big tikkun. Two ksonos, two avnetim, what did you give the mishalim for? The Gemara doesn't give these mishalim. The Rambam is mashma bedavka like that. Ol kohen hegit shalov is big tikkun gadol v'yavah, harei mechal avayda, etc. And Rashi and the Gemara learn the same mishnah. Rashi learns that if you're wearing any extra begad, that would constitute miyuta begodim. The Gemara just has that would constitute miyuta begodim. Rashi learns how the Gemara in Zvachim, the Machlek is Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn the Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Zvachim raises the question about Kohanim wearing tefillin when they do the Avodah. Is that permissible or not? What's the question? So the Gemara words it, do the tefillin constitute a chatzitza? Kol mash yilbash tefillin, is it chatzitza or not? So Rashi, Tosfos learns the Gemara means kipshuta, chatzitza. What's the shot of the shalyan? You can't wear the shalyan on top of the sleeve because that's a chatzitza on the tefillin. And the Mishnah Megillah says, whoever puts the tefillin on top of the sleeve is not yet to the mitzvah. The Gemara Megillah learns it out from a pasuk that it says, you're going to put the tefillin on top of your sleeve, then it's lachem liyot. If you roll up your sleeve, then it's considered lacholiyot. So that's the marker of the din that chatzitza passes by tefillin. That's what it is in machlokes and shulchan aruch, whether chatzitza passes by shal rosh or not. Because the marker is lacholiyot by the shal yad, and there is no marker by the shal rosh. So the Rashbo has a suffix that the tefillin of Rashbo is in suffix to say that maybe by shal rosh there's no chatzitza. Maybe there's no problem of chatzitza. And then the overwhelming majority of the Mishnah disagree with the Rashbam. They say that even though the Mishnah and Megillah and the Gemara and Megillah only says that he has a shalyah, the Mishnah only talks about shalyah, that apparently was a common practice by some sect, by some group. So the Mishnah there is alluding to different sects had different improper practices in Shmiras HaMitzvos. And one of them was that he used to have round shalrosh instead of square. And one was that they used to put on tefillin on top of the sleeve. The Mishnah complained that they don't have any mitzvah, and the tefillin is not going to protect them. The tefillin only gives the protection if you do it properly. If you don't do it right, then it doesn't give any protection. So the Mishnah is alluding to some practice that they had. This not a Mishnah that was improper. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk for Shalyad, and the one that it says the pasuk for Shalyad, but most of the Mishnahim hold, and that's how the Mishnah brewer, the Achar Shulchan complained about that. Most of the Mishnahim hold that the din of chatzitza applies to Shalosh as well. So the Tosfos learns that that was the Gemara's discussion in Zvachim on Daf Yutet, in the beginning of the second paragraph. The Gemara has all the halachas of Big Dekuna and Chatzitza and Big Dekuna, Miyuta Begodim and Chusa Begodim. So the Gemara had the topic, is the Kohen permitted to wear big tefillin with the Big Dekuna to Shalom Chatzitza? Ma'ashi Yachutu. Where's the Chatzitza? The Tosfos learns, Pashim Shalom, if you're going to wear this tefillin on top of the sleeve, that's going to be a chatzitza the sleeve of the Digdekuna is going to be a hatita in between the tefillin shoyad and the arm. So what are you going to do? You're going to roll up the sleeve, put the tefillin on the arm, and then have the sleeve down. So then the tefillin is going to be a hatita in between the Digdekuna and the body. So that's what the Gemara discusses. What's the story? So the Gemara says, you're right, they didn't wear shoyad, but they did wear shorosh. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, now she achutzu. Should the tefillin shoyad be considered a hatita in between the Digdekuna and the body? Tosfos, Rashi learns the Gemara not kipshuto. Usually it's like, usually Rashi is the one that gives you the simple translation of the words of the Gemara, and Tosfos sometimes is forced because of other Gemaras to put things into proper perspective and reinterpret a little bit. Over here, Rashi has to go out of his way to learn otherwise. Rashi learns the Gemara Shaila was, Mal sheyachutzu, should it be chatzitza? So instead of learning an Israel chatzitza, he says, maybe it should be miyut of the godin. If the kohen gadol is going to wear a bo of the godin, plus a shoyad, plus a shorosh, then maybe that should constitute miyut of the godin. Now the shoyad and shorosh is not one of the big nekuna. This is Rashi and Shitasa learns like that. Rashi says in the whole das, the whole Lama Gemara there, that one would be in violation of miyut of the godin if he wears an extra band-aid. Even though the band-aid is not chatzitza, it's not the band-aid is not worn in between the skin and the big dekuna, and it's not worn in between the finger and the klisharis, and it's not worn in between the foot and the karka or azora. Rashi learns an extra band-aid. If it's big enough, Rashi gives you the shiurim there, the gemara, would constitute the shame beged, and that would be miyut b'zor. That's how Rashi learns the gemara, tzumah marashi yachutzu, instead of learning that it's an issue of chatzitza, do the tzumah constitute the chatzitza. He learns maybe the tefillin should be considered in the use of the good. So what's talking about? It's not the use of the good. But if it didn't use the good, he wouldn't put on the shorosh either. He wouldn't be allowed to put on the shorosh. So what's talking the answer? Why not? Why isn't it the use of the good? So that's what the Midrash David wants to suggest, and others have the same as well, that perhaps the Kohen Rashi is only called Miyut HaBigodim if the thing is a begit in the sense that it's cloth and it has a warp and it has a woof. But then, let's say, Halacha L'maaseh, let's say the Kohen will wear the Avraham Begodim of the Beacon Kohen HaYot, plus they'll put a piece of leather, they'll put on a leather instead of wearing a cloth glove, wear a leather glove that has no cloth on it, and not on the right hand where it's going to be an issue of chatzitza in between the hand and the klishare, wear a leather glove on the left hand where it's not going to be a chatzitza between anything and anything. So it could be, that's how the Migdash David and others suggest, the Rebbe Azov also has this, the Rebbe Azov is a dying and Zulman, and the days of his Zulman going. The Rebbe Azov is a sefer that the Torah Nina relies on a lot, quotes very heavily from the Rebbe Azov. But he also has such a suggestion. He wants to say that maybe it only constitutes the use of the godin if it has a chaloshein beged in the sense that it has a shape of the edges, that it has a warp and a woof, that it's some kind of a cloth material that's blended in. But just like the Gemara says that leather begodin that have four corners are not chayiv in tzitzis, because it doesn't have a din beged. It has a din beged that it's makabel tumah. It's all kelim on makabel tumah. In order to be makabel tumah, it doesn't have to be a beged. A beged is makabel tumah because it's a kli. So a leather beged is makabel tumah because it's a kli. But whenever you have a din of beged because it's beged, not a beged has a form of a kli. A beged has to be a beged, so that could be that leather is not considered a beged. The marshal sits this. You want to include the word sits this on a four-cornered beged. I'm going to put sits in a four-cornered kli. Only a four-cornered beged. But that's what the Gemara says, that a beggar shall or is not mechuyav in tzitzis. Or today they have plastic materials. They make synthetic materials, but sometimes also it's not made from a thread with a warp and a woof. Sometimes they just have sheets of material. So then all of the Protestants say that such synthetic material, which is like leather in the sense that they have a liquid and they let it melt, and then they have it solidify at a high degree, at a high temperature, liquid, and then they just, when they cool it off, it turns into a sheet of material. But then the person will say that has the same status as ore, as leather, that it's not chayim tzitzis, so it's not called a beged. In order to be called a beged, it has to have a shape of the air. So that's what several give the suggestion And maybe tefillin would not constitute a violation on the use of the garden, according to Rashi. Rashi holds that there is a problem on the use of the garden, even if it's not an extra one of the big components. Maybe it wouldn't be called the use of the garden because of the fact that it's not a beggar's bechla. It's a different thing. That was the question. Should it be the use of the garden or not? And then the Maskana is that it's not. If it's Shalyat. Yeah, the Gemara says, Tal Tam Shalyat, Tam Shalrosh. If it's Shalyat, then it's a different problem. Hasitan, if it's Shalrosh, then it's okay. Other rabbi, they quote a brisa that they were obviously not aware of. The one who asked the question wasn't aware. The brisa says, it's there, so they can eat the Kohen Gadol. Who has a sit, Anna, Mitznefes, has to wear Tfil and Shalrosh also. So Tfil Shalrosh is no problem of. There's no problem of chatzitza. So yeah, there is a problem of chatzitza. But from the fact that he does wear his own shalosh, you think that it's not a problem on the use of the garden. The simple reading in Gemara can say differently. In Gemara you could say that it's not the use of the garden because it's moving the aim of that. The din is, filling is supposed to wear all day long. It's supposed to that they wear stone all day long. But that's a big machlokes to Rishonim and a machlokes to Chachamim, whether that din lachatzila that's supposed to wear filling lachatzila all day long, is that a din d'oraita or is that a din d'rabbanan? Some hold men atar yoytin and mitzvah tefillin, but you're just putting on the shalyad and the shalrosh for a moment, then you take it off to the yoytin ready. And the fact that the Gemara has such an idea that mechatzila is supposed to wear tefillin for a yoyin is only d'rabbanan. Others say no, that it's men atar. So one could have read the Gemara otherwise. One could have said in the Gemara that since mitzvah b'kach, if you say that that's the mitzvah men atar of a chatzila, is to have tefillin on all day long. So what do you mean? The Torah is going to say that the Kohanim don't have to wear tefillin all day long. The shalyad they can't wear because of chatzitza, but whatever the shalosh they can't wear, they're not makim zezer. If you only have a shalosh, you don't have a shalyad, or you have a bandage over there, and there's a chatzitza, so you can't put on the shalyad. So you put on the shalosh, and that wouldn't constitute the use of the garden because it's lost of the car. Could say like that. But some achrenim want to say differently, that the reason why Rashi understands the matkana that it's not the use of the garden is not so much because mitzvah of the kach that it's a mitzvah and atar to wear the tefillin all day long, but rather because the garden is shem deged, because it's not from cloth.
What
It could be the Rambam learned like that. No, but Rashi clearly doesn't learn like that. There are other Rashi. There are other Rashi's on the Yomah. Rashi talks about the Indeg. Rashi talks about the Indeg being a violation of the use of the garden. Sometimes it's only a problem if the bed that is too small and less than gimel tzrochem or gimel tzrochem, then it's not a beggar, Rashi learns, then it'll only be a problem if it'll be a chatzitza. If the bed that will be in between the big dekun and the skin. But if the bed that is big enough, it gives a sheer gimel tzrochem or gimel tzrochem. Sometimes you have a sheer beggar, gimel or tzvot, or gimel or tzvot, which is very tiny, 3 inches by 3 inches, and it's like this. And sometimes the sheer gimel tzrochem, which is much, much bigger. But Rashi learns in the Gemara that sometimes the bandaid will be in the use of the garden and sometimes it won't, depending on the size. Sometimes it won't be a problem of chatzitza. But Rashi holds halacha that even shad gadim are a chatzitza. This is a shayla. The Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol used to have the sit, and then he used to have the tefillin, and then he used to have the mitznefes. Where exactly did he have the sit? Where exactly? If Hara mitzchetam, metzach in Hebrew and modern Hebrew usually means over here. But the Targum Unkel is on the Pasuk, right? On this Chatamid writes, Deinei Nohi. Deinei Nohi. Rashi in Tosis, Rashi and Chumash in Tosis on the Gemara, and a few places point out, there are 2 days in Tosis about this, whether the tzitz is supposed to be on the forehead, Mitzchoy, or the tzitz is supposed to be from Rachm Tzvillin, just like it says, the Holy Lord says, Deinei Necha, and Deinei Necha doesn't mean over here, rather means where the hair grows. Here also, where it says "Vayam Mitzchatamim" and the Targum has a lotion, they didn't know you something like that. So it could be that that's what the Targum implies, that the makam of the Radisha Satzitz is really on top of the hair. The Tosis has 2 days about that. According to 1 day in Tosis, you have the Tzitz over here, and then you have the Tzitz Shalosh behind it, and then you have the Mitznefes behind that. That's what Tosis claims. How come by the Tzain Hedid it's called Migdas, and by the Tzain Gadol it's called Mitznefes? So the Rambam and the Raizid and Taisus, they all assume that the entrance is because of two different Godim. They were not identical. The Mikvah was worn by the Kohen Hedges and the Mishnefesh was worn by the Kohen Gadol. What exactly is the difference? What exactly is the difference? The Taisus says the difference is in size, that the Kohen Hedges doesn't wear a tzitzit. Kohen Hedges wears Tzilon Shel Rosh, and then how big is Tzilon Shel Rosh, whatever, 2 inches, an inch and a half, and then starting from the end of the Tzilon Shel Rosh, he wears a hat that's a Mikvah. The Kohen Gadol had to wear a smaller hat. Because he had to wear the tzitzit over here, and then the Tzilon Shel Rosh behind it. How can you put the Tzilon Shel Rosh, shlub and koma? So the Gemara says, no, noch miyesh barosh, ba'amiyach shnei tzilon. You can put one behind the other. That's the Gemara. There's enough room to put two tzilon. Yeah, but over here doesn't have two tzilon. It has the tzitzit and the tzilon. So apparently, the height of the tzitzit was the same size as the tzilon. Two as the boy's tall. And the, and the normal size tzilon. You can have a grandfather tefillin that will be 4 inches by 4 inches. You can't say Machon Yesh Barosh on Yesh Nei Tefillin. Taisus points out Machon Yesh Barosh is enough room to put two shaloshes, one behind the other, as Mara says, depending how big they are. If you make teeny weeny tefillin, you can put three. If you have very big ones, you can't even put one. So what's the size tefillin that the Gemara is talking about? And the Malachi says there must be a standard size tefillin that was normal with Mana Gemara. The Gemara is talking about that there's enough room to put two. What was normal with Mana Gemara? So Taisus says a square of 2 edge borders by 2 edge borders. That was the normal size of a shalosh. So the Gemara says that the tzitz was 2 edge borders tall, and then we assume that the tzimul shalosh was also 2 edge borders behind it. So that's the first 4 edge borders is the makom, first 4 edge borders from the beginning of the hairline. Going back is the makom for hanachas tzitzum. So that's what one opinion of Taisus is, that that was exactly the difference between the Mitznefes that was won by the Kohen Gadol and the Mikvah that was won by the Kohen Hedyos, because the Mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol had to be slightly smaller, so they had to have room over here to put the tzitzit and to put the tefillin, and the Mitznefes begin behind. By the Kohen Hedyos, he wore the tefillin right in the front, and the Mikvah began right after that. The Raizid says also a difference, but he has a different difference. The Raivit claims that the Nefesh of the Kohen Gadol was like a turban, like the Arabs wear, wound around and around, and the Mikvah was a yarmulke, like we wear. The Raivit wore a yarmulke. Raivit? The Rambam writes that a different, Rambam writes a different difference. And Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek says, the Rambam gives you all the big dikunim. So the writer says, Omar Avram, Ani Yomer, and Perek says, Allah HaBeit. Ani Yomer, Ein Maseir Shal Zeh Ke Maseir Shal Zeh. The Mikvah and the Mitznefes are very different. A Mitznefes, Orach Miyod, is very, very long. With Torah Chosel, Krichas HaHabit, Ki Krichas HaYishma Elam, like the Arabs. A turban that you wind around and around, that's what the Kohen Gadol wear. Avamaita hamikboi, kein hakoivoyim shalvanu. They're like our yarmulkes. Chadin milamayla. They had a point on top. Not exactly like ours. He said, like our yarmulkes. Kein hakoivoyim shalvanu. Chadin milamayla. The end story. It wasn't so long, wound around and around. It wasn't a turban. That's what the writer says. The Rambam says a different difference. I'm not exactly sure what the Rambam says. The Rambam there gives a different difference between the Mikvah and the Mitznefes. The Rambam has quite a few things here about the Bigdei Kuhnim. The writer says he doesn't know what the source is. He says, Zuminayin lo, how did you know that, and how did you know this, and Perek Tet. A lot of things very unclear. Where did the Rambam get all these things from? But that's what a lot of Rishonim assumed, that the Mikvah and the Mitznefes was not the same. If one should assume the way it says in the Gemara that there's no issue of miyutah godin over wearing a shalosh, So yad is a problem of chatzitza. Either chatzitza on the shalyad or chatzitza on the big betuna, either one or the other. So you can't wear a shalyad. The Gemara says, the Kohanim didn't wear a shalyad in Beit HaMikdash. But the shalosh they all did wear, the Kohen Gadol also. You claim hey, for sure, the old water shalosh, and it did not pose the problem of miyutah b'godin. So the question is, why not? So the simple reading in the Gemara can say, because mitzvah to the kach, it's a mitzvah to wear the tefillin all day long, mitzvah to wear the tefillin all day long, it's supposed to wear it. So it's Mucham Ve'elav when the Rabban Shalom gave the din. I think they couldn't. It didn't mean that the Kohanim should not fulfill the mitzvah of the Shalyad. It's Mucham Ve'elav that he cannot wear the Shalyad because of Chatzitza. Shalrosh, Mucham Ve'elav that was not included, that he has to remove the Shalrosh. So if he say like that, then the following question would not be a question. Let's say the Kangodal Yom Kippur goes part of the Avodah wearing Shmoyne B'Gadim and part of the Avodah wearing Abba B'Gadim. He does the Avodah in 5 units on Yom Kippur. He does the Avodah with the Zob, then Lovan, then Zob, then Lovan, then Zob. So the second and the fourth unit of Avodah is Big Day Lovan. When he does the Avodah with Big Day Lovan, he only wears Abba B'Gadim. When he does the 3 units, the first, the third, and the fifth, the 3 units of Avodah on Yom Kippur that are done Big Day Zob, then it's not called your long, then he wears the regular Big Day Zob, the Shmoyne B'Gadim. So what if, when he does the second and the fourth units of Avodah Yom Kippur, the Big Day Lovan, what if he decides he wants to wear a tzitz? Would that pose the problem of Miyut of the Grodim or not? You can't say that it's part of the Kach, it's part of the Tzitz. Self-understood, he should wear the tzitz. Not self-understood. When he wears the other seven, the Grodim of the Kangodim, then he wears the tzitz. When he does the Avodah, the second and the fourth units, there's no mitzvah to wear the tzitz. But say he wants on his own to wear the tzitz. He decides he wants to wear this tzitz. Does that be a problem of Mehuta Tzitz? If he say that the reason why Tzitz Shal Rosh is not Mehuta Tzitz is because Mr. Rosh of the Kaf is supposed to wear Tzitz all day long, but then the tzitz should not be worn. It's not part of the set of the Godim. All of the Godim are locked in there. So he's going to wear the tzitz, will he accomplish anything? If the Kangodim will wear the tzitz without the other extra begotten of the Big Day Kangol, will he be able to accomplish anything? That's also a shayla. That's also a shayla. It says in the Chumash, and this is stated, that the purpose of wearing the tzitz is that the tzitz is meratze and korbanos that have brought the tumah. Oy amit kotamid l'rotzan lohan l'ifnei Hashem. And the Gemara understands a new man. The Gemara has a whole drasha. L'rotzan lohan means that it's machshir a korban which would have otherwise been possible. Sometimes you bring Karbonis in the Beit HaMikdash and they're possible, but if the Kangodim is wearing the tzitz, at the time that the possible carbon was offered, so then the tzitz is merata, means that it causes that carbon will be kosher. The Gemara has a whole right to derive a meha tzitz merata, which psul, which Karbonis that are offered the psul, do you say that if the Kangodim is wearing the tzitz, all of a sudden it becomes kosher? So the Gemara has a whole right to the time for his inclusion there is salatumah. And Korbanos that are offered the tumah. And all about the psulim, let's say they offer the carbon with the left hand. They offer the carbon balaylo. Whatever. Shikar offered the Korbanos. All that are the 150 psulim that are listed off in the Mishnayos. Any other psul that was done, the Kangodim can wear the tzitz from today till next year is not going to help. A mea tzitz meratza only on Korbanos that are offered the tumah. So the question is, when that halacha is safe, when it didn't say for the Kangodim, where is the tzitz? There is a machlegis hatanoim. Machlegis reviewed in Reb Shimon in the first parak in Yuman, that Zion is the tzitz merata only when the Kangodim is wearing it, or even when he's not wearing it. Do you say, are they al mitzvah merata? Ain't they al mitzvah? Ain't a merata? Or do you say, no, the tzitz is merata even if he's not wearing it, provided that it's in existence. If the tzitz is nishbar, if it's broken, it's not functional, so then it's not going to be merata. But as long as it's not broken, then the tzitz will be merata even if he's not wearing it. So we assume that it's only merata when he's wearing it. So Shaila, the Gemara has a machlokes satanim. V'hoy al mitzvah tamid, l'rotzan lohem lifnei Hashem. How do you read the word tamid? You say, tamid l'rotzan lohem lifnei Hashem. V'hoy al mitzvah. The Kangodim should wear it al mitzvah, whatever that means. Al beisein oli. The Sazan says al beisein oli. So does it mean V'hayam Yitzchah Tami, the Kangodol should always wear the tzitz, semicolon. The Rotan Lahem Lefnei Hashem, and the tzitz is Merata, even if he's not wearing it. Or does it say, no, V'hayam Yitzchah, the Kangodol should wear the tzitz, and his Metzah, Tami, the Rotan Lahem Lefnei Hashem. And the tzitz is always Merata, even if he's not wearing it. So that's the Machalekis HaTanayim. And obviously the way we have the chop, V'hayam Yitzchah Tami, semicolon. The Rotan Lahem Lefnei Hashem, we assume that it's only Merata when he's wearing it. When he's not wearing it, then it's not Merata. So the question is, what do you mean when the Kangodol is wearing the tzitz? He just has to wear the tzitz. He can wear a regular suit and then wear the tzitz. And that's it. Or you say, no, wear the tzitz means the tzitz with all of the others, with the whole shebang. With the whole business. He has to wear all the shmanim goes. So that's a shayla. Tesis says Mefurish, in the name of the Rabbi Natam, Tesis in the end of Kiddushin, quote, in the name of the Rabbi Natam, all he has to do is wear the tzitz. He doesn't have to wear the other goes. And the Beit HaLevi writes in the first chelik of his Shalit HaTshuvah, he has a whole essay about the Kangodol wearing a tzitz and Kohanim wearing big lakuna. He doesn't think that the Rabbi Mitzvah is right. He thinks that it's a pillar. How can you say that? That when you say the tzitz is meratzah, it doesn't mean the tzitz alone. It means you wear the tzitz, the tzitz with all of the other big lakuna. So that's the Shalit, let's say, the Kangodol wants to go in on Yom Kippur and to do the Avodah Lefnai V'Lefnim, the second and the fourth unit of Avodah. So he doesn't wear Shmoneh Zorim, he only wears Abrov Zorim. Let's say he wants to wear the tzitz. Will anything be accomplished by wearing the tzitz? Will anything be accomplished? According to Rabbi Natan, yes. Wearing the tzitz alone accomplishes weekly in case a carbon will be offered to Tumah during that time. So the tzitz alone, even without wearing the other big Tumah, will accomplish something. According to the Beit HaLevi, absolutely nothing will be accomplished. But if you don't wear all the Shmoneh Zorim together, so the tzitz is meaningless. So the question will be, according if the Kangodol will decide to wear the Abrov Zorim on Yom Kippur into the second, the fourth unit of Avodah, plus he'll decide on his own. He wants to put on the tzitz. Will that be Miyut of the Zorim or not? So this Avodah is supposed to be done with Dalad Zorim, will that be Miyut of the Zorim? So we said that Shalosh is not Miyut of the Zorim. The question is, why not? Is it because Mitzvah of the Kaf? It's self-understood, he's supposed to, that's a simple reading of the Roshan HaGemara, is Rochel Daf Yitzhak. So it's Mitzvah to the Kaf. But the reference to Tzitz, would that be considered Mitzvah to the Kaf? Maybe come to Rabbeinu Tam yet? So just the way the Tzitz alone is Meratzah. According to the Beit HaLevi, absolutely not. The Tzitz alone is meaningless. You don't accomplish anything. It's like wearing a nose ring, like wearing earrings. It's not going to enhance the already nothing. Nothing will be added at all. But the Shah has been, maybe it's still not called the use of the Gozim because it's not a beggar that has a shed to the air. It's not from cloth, it's made from metal. That's the insult that some Achrayim wanted to say, that's what the Mikesh Dovid and others, the Rizina Zod, that's what they wanted to suggest. Maybe according to Rashi, the reason why there's no issue of the use of the Gozim on the Shorosh is not so much because it's lost of the Kaf, but rather because of the fact that it's not a beggar in the traditional sense of the word. It's not made from cloth. Just like the tefillin doesn't constitute a beggar, so Rosh is not a beggar, so maybe the tzitz also will not be a beggar. That's how they understand the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara asks the question in Rosh Hashanah, how come the Kangodol doesn't wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh of the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Gemara gives the answer, because then Kategan Asa Sanegal, because the gold, the tzitz is made from gold, so the gold is representative of the Egel Hazrahav, the Gemara says. He's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh with gold on. It's going to remind you of Rabbi Shalom of the Chesed Egel, and that's a disaster. We don't want to remind him of the Chesed. We'd rather have everybody forget about that. That's what the Gemara says. But after any minute on the Gemara, what do you mean? Ain't Kategan Asanegel? What do you need an argotic explanation? They say, Ma, why doesn't the Kangodol wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh? Because it'll be the use of the God, and the whole Avodah will be possible. It'll be Avodah and Mucholemus. What kind of a question is that? If the Torah says you only have to wear Avodah God, then it'll be Abba Yossi Mukhodala. Could say that the Gemara was asking on time of the Torah. Why did the Rebbe Shalom only require of the Kangodol that he should wear only four Gozim? Why didn't the Rebbe Shalom require on the time of the Torah? That could be someone learned like that. And others learned not so. Others learned that the Gemara is asking a question Halacha L'maisa. Why doesn't the Kangodol on his own do this? In addition to wearing the Abrov Zorim, which the Torah requires of him, let him also wear the tzitz, and it will solve the problem. In case it will be an Avodah that will be done in the Tumah while he's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that Avodah will also be Ksheira. That Torah will also be Kosher, because the tzitz is only, we talk to the tzitz is only Meratza when he wears the, when he wears it. When he doesn't wear it, it's not Meratza. So that was the most question. So why shouldn't we always encourage the Kangodol to wear the tzitz even when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh? So the answer is given, no, that's not a good idea, because Ein Kategan Asa Negel. But we wouldn't say that it's a violation of the din of the use of the Gozim, because it's not a beggar. That's a shadow. It's a tapshit, it's not a beggar. And Losh and many others you have in Shulchan Aruch being like this. Let's say a man is there on his deathbed. He's a Shchimira. And he says, oh, he leaves all of his clothing to so-and-so. And then he dies. And it turns out he has clothing, and he has a lot of jewelry. He has watches, and he has tie pins, and he has earrings and nose rings and whatever. He has his wife's jewelry. He needs all the clothing, all of the Gozim. The Achrayim discussed, and Shulchan Aruch, of course, Mishanim discussed it. So some say, in the Mechaber they quote Dinim like this, so some say that jewelry is also included in Lashon HaYadim, jewelry is also included in the Lashon HaBigodim, when a person says that. But we're not talking about Lashon HaYadim, we're talking about Dini HaTorah. You have a Dinim, the use of Bigodim, where jewelry constitutes Beged. If the jewelry is not cloth, the jewelry is made from pure gold, or the jewelry is made from leather, but that also calls be called Miyut HaBigodim. That's what some want to say, that it's not. That's exactly what the Gemara meant when they said that the Shal Rosh is not a Miyut HaBigodim. The way Rashi learns the Gemara Shal Rosh is not a Miyut HaBigodim because it's not a Beged. In order to be Miyut HaBigodim, it has to be a Beged with a Sheti and... like the Satanon, yeah, and Dhamma Madlikin and other places. The first person is on this letter. The Raz Begadim is only the Beged Tishtan of the Beged Tem or Oba'or. Yeah. So what about Tzitzis? So one time it says that Tzitzis, one is only Mukhayim and Atel and Tzitzis if the Beged is Tem or Tishtan. And other clothes are not Mukhayim. And other Tanon disagree. They say, no, that all Shad Begadim are also chayvim tzitzis nasa. Machloket mechaber neramot, how to pass whether it's silk and beged or a cotton. Cotton beged is the right of the rabbanon. Mechaber holds that cotton beged are only chayvim tzitzis in the rabbanon. The ramot holds that it's min ha'tor. Shekhti alone. Yeah. Alone. Yeah, Rashi learned just as full of dread. Just as full of dread is also a Makabal from a Negatah.
And then by the Tzitzit,
you can't say that's not a Tzitzit. That's not a Tzitzit. That's a special thing that Shesti and Erev alone is a Makabal from
a Negatah.
The Torah says, how did Aaron become a Kohen? So it says that they all needed Mashiach. In Pasuk Mem Aleph, it says, "Habashta ois mesahan achich lezban vito omashachta osam." So you should do Mashiach on all of them. The Dara Siddin is a Yom Dur Mashiach Ani Kangol. Yom Dur Mashiach Ani Kangol, Yom Dur Mashiach Ani Kangol. But this was the Hira Shah that they all needed Mashiach because the Dara Siddin, we know what the Din is. When the baby is born, it's determined either he's a Kain or he's not a Kain. If his father was a Kain, then he's a Kain. If his father wasn't a Kain, he's not a Kain. He doesn't need Mashiach. He wasn't born a Kangol. If you want to make him into a Kangol, then the Halacha says you have to have Mashiach B'Shem and Amishch. But here, nobody was a Kohen. When they were born, nobody was a Kohen. So they had to make them all Kohanim Yesh Mayayim. So the Torah says, how do you make a non-Kohen into a Kohen? You do Mashiach. The local Orthodox rabbi can't do this. He can't just take a lady or Yisrael and give Mashiach and make him. This is a Hayra Shah. This is a special din. Mashach to Oysam, when you did Mashiach to all of the four sons of Aharon, so that's what made them all into Kohanim. The Ramban later on Chumash quotes from the Ravid that this was halachically significant later when the two sons of Aharon died. Another Valu died, so the terrorist says rather than have a Lozavi Soma take out the dead body, so they had to call the cousins to take them out. So the Ravid in the commentary on the Torah Shahanim and the Ramban Chumash, they both ask the same question. The Ramban is quoting verbatim from the Ravid there. He doesn't give them by name. A lot, he quotes a lot from the Ravid without mentioning by name. Apparently he was very popular, everybody knew the Pirush of Ravid, so it wasn't considered plagiarism. By quoting a Pasuk in Chumash, I don't have to say, I'm a Bereishis Barakim. I can say it says in Bereishis. I say, no, it's Bereishis Barakim. I quote it from the Chumash. But everybody's familiar with the Ravid, so there's nothing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the Raivin and the Ramban posed the question, why was it Tzivoy Hashem to get the cousins of another Aviyu to take out the dead bodies? The din is that a Kohen Hagid has a mitzvah, Lo Yitamah, the Kohen Hagid has a mitzvah to be mitamah to design kreidim. The Kohen Gadol is not permitted to be mitamah to anybody, even to kreidim, with the exception of the Neis Mitzvah. But the Kohen Hagid has the obligation, not only as permissibility, not only the mitzvah, has an obligation to be mitamah to design kreidim. So if the two brothers died, if another Aviyu died on the Shmini Minuim, why didn't Elozer Yitamah have the obligation to be mitamah in the Mason? It says that they didn't, just like Aharon was a Kohen Gadol, he was not metapolim and Mason, his two sons. Those were the two brothers were not metapolim, only the cousins were. That's the kasha. But the Raivid and his Pirusha and the Teres Kohanim and the Ramban HaChumash has the same answer verbatim. They both say that, they give one answer, maybe it was a Hirasha, maybe it was Shmini and Miluim, maybe it was a special thing. And then they give the other answer that, that they say Rav Chaim Soloveitchik liked the other answer. That since on this occasion it says a mashach toisim, a kiddush toisim, they all needed Mashiach b'shem and amishcha, so they all had a kedushas Kohen Gadol. The only thing is they weren't given the title of Kohen Gadol. There's such a thing as kedushas Kohen Gadol, and then there's a minui, a shem Kohen Gadol. So the person gets Mashiach b'shem and amishcha in order to become some. A guy takes shem and amishcha shmiras and says doesn't become anything. He doesn't get a kedushas Kohen Gadol either. I'm going to take shem and amishcha shmiras. It doesn't mean anything. But here, the halacha declared, the halacha stated that in order for all four of them, Elozer Yitamar, another Aviyu, in order for all four of them to become Kohanim, they all needed Mashiach, just like Aaron needed Mashiach, or Mashiach Tos and Kiddush Tos, and that's how they all became Kohanim. But since the Mashiach was Kiddin and made them in Kohanim, so they didn't only have a Kedushas Kohen Hevi, they had a Kedushas Kohen Gadol. Just like a Kohen Gadol becomes Mitzkadesh b'Mashiach b'Shem and Amishka. The only thing is, but only Aaron was given the title of Kohen Gadol. The others didn't have the title, they didn't have the minui, they didn't have the shem Kohen Gadol. Do you have such a thing with Beiris, that a person has the Kedushas Kohen Gadol without the shem Kohen Gadol? So the Ramban and the Raivid both say that yes, and that's what Rav Chaim elaborated on. Yes, you have a Mashiach b'shem and Mashiach Muhammad like that. The Mashiach Muhammad, the Gemara says in Yuma, Gimel Amar Aleph says that which dinim does the Shoch Muhammad have in common with the Kohen Gadol, which dinim does he have in common with the Kohen Hagid? That's what Rav Chaim explained what the Raivid and the Ramban are talking about. He said the Mashiach Muhammad has a Kedushas Kohen Gadol, but he doesn't have the Shem Kohen Gadol. He has a Kedushas Kohen Gadol because he has to give Mashiach b'shem and amishcha. That's what it's all about, Mashiach Muhammad. But he doesn't have the Shem Kohen Gadol. He's not appointed to the position. They don't give him the title. So what dinim does one have if he has a Kedushas Kohen Gadol without a Shem Kohen Gadol? Because that's what the Gemara tells you. The Gemara spells out the dinim. So one of the dinim is that the Mashiach Muhammad, even though he's in the army, he's not even permitted to be metameh to any of the Zion Kohen, only to a Meis Mitzvah. That dinim has like a Kohen Gadol. So that's what the Ramban and the Raivid are both saying over here, that because the two sons of Aaron, also all four sons had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishka. And Mashiach Tois and Mikidash Tois, because they all had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishka, so therefore all of them had a Kedushas Kohen Gadol, and therefore they all had the status like the Mashiach Muhammad, that is not permitted to the Mitameh even to the Zayin Kohen, only to a Meis Mitzvah. That's why they had to call upon the cousins that they should be Mitapel and Nikur. And that's why the Pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, when the cousins were called upon to do the Kvura, it says that the Bnei Aharon are not permitted to be Mitameh, because they had Mashiach. That's what the question is. They had Mashiach means that they were endowed Kedushas Kohen Gadol, even though they didn't have the Shein Kohen Gadol. Kedushas Kohen Gadol is enough to offer Tuma to the Zayin Kohen, as it says in the Gemara and Gimel, Dafan Gimel, with respect to the Mashiach Muhammad. See, what's the difference? Is the Mashiach Muhammad Makir Goyim? You gotta look at the Gemara. Better look on his back, see what it says. Better look on the detail. Better take a look on the demand. The pasuk says at the end of the Shabbat, Shivat Yamin Yobosham HaKoyim Tachtob Mibonov, that when you do the, when you appoint a new Kohen Gadol, you're supposed to do either Meshicha for 7 days in a row, or you're supposed to do Merubah B'Godim for 7 days in a row. Because Mambai Yisrael, when they had Shemin HaMishcha, so the way they appointed a Kohen Gadol would be Ayde Meshicha. So the Pasuk says that you have to do Meshicha 7 days in a row. There's man towards the end of the period of the Bayis Rishon, and then the period of the whole period of the Bayis Sheni, when they no longer had the Shemin HaMishcha, because Yoshua Melech was going to the Shemin HaMishcha and put it in the basement of the Beit HaMikdash. So how did they have Kohanim Gadolim? They had Ayidei Levisha. It says, Yul Basham HaKrein Tachim Ibanah. By wearing the Big Day Kunis. That's what the Gemara says. There's a Merubah B'Godim. By wearing the Shemayin B'Godim, that's what makes them into the Kohen Gadol. So the mitzvah is that he should wear the Shemayin B'Godim 7 days in a row. That's how you make a Kohen Gadol. So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara that this is only L'chatchila. This din is supposed to do the Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha 7 days in a row, and you're supposed to do Merubah B'Godim 7 days in a row. So the Gemara asks him, what happens if the Kohen Gadol gets a heart attack on Yom Kippur and he drops dead? And then you want to appoint a new Kohen Gadol. So what are you going to do? How can you do 7 days in a row? Today's Yom Kippur. What are you going to do? Postpone Yom Kippur for nothing. You need a Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur. So the Gemara learns out. The Gemara has a bright and learns out from a pasuk that this is not Makir B'Yezid. L'chatzili is supposed to have the Shechit B'Shem and Amish for 7 days in a row. He's supposed to have Merubah B'Godim 7 days in a row. However, you're doing the Mekadesh of the Kohen Gadol. But the Yikuver is sufficient, the Yevet is sufficient, the Mishat Tzachak will be sufficient if you only have Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishcha 1 day, or Merubah B'Godim 1 day. So rather there on that Rambam, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash also, I think, when the Rambam said, you Klei HaMikdash, I'm Bias Mikdash. And the Rambam quotes that din, so the writer is in disagreement with the Rambam. The writer says that there is no din l'chatchila, so you need the Shicha B'Shem and HaMishcha for 7 days, and you need Merubah B'Godim for 7 days. He says, so many din in Avodah Yom HaKippurim. If you want to have Pliny serve as the Shem Gadol on Yom Kippur, but then, you're supposed to make him a Kohen Gadol by the Chatzchil, you're supposed to make him into a Kohen Gadol by having Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishcha 7 days in a row, by having Merubah B'Godim 7 days in a row. But if you're not talking about Avodah on Yom HaKippur, I'm just talking about doing Avodah Stam all year long. A Kohen Head, you'll have to do Avodah wearing Abba B'Godim, and a Kohen Gadol has to do Avodah wearing Shmoneh B'Godim. But the Rambam quotes this in all year long. All year long, let's say he just appointed a new Kohen Gadol on Purim. You appoint a new Kohen Gadol today, or on Purim, whatever. But the Rambam says the first 7 days he shouldn't do any Avodah because he's going to be wearing the Shmoneh B'Godim 7 days in a row. He's supposed to do Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishcha 7 days in a row. And he's not yet a full Kohen Gadol. See, the Yevet, the Rambam writes, if he do Avodah with the Shmoneh B'Godim, that is when the Yevet will be Avodah with the Kshelim. Because with the Yevet, he already is a Kohen Gadol. But the Chatzchil is not really a Kohen Gadol B'Shleimus until the full 7 days are up. So the Rambam is mashma that he shouldn't do Avodah during those 7 days. Because he's not a full Kohen Gadol to say that He's not a mechusa begodim, he's not a miyusa begodim. The writer is chayav, he says, what's wrong? We can do avodah lechatzilah in the middle of the 7 days. The halacha that you require lechatzilah 7 days is only a din in Yom HaKippurim. So they quote in the name of Rav Avraham of Soloveitchik that he said that the mashmoyot of the pasuk reads very well according to the writer. In Perek Chaltes Pasuk Lamed, the pasuk says, Shivat Yom Yol Basham, this din that lechatzilah in these 7 days, Shibat Yom and Yom Vashom HaKohen Tachtob in Bonam Asher Yobo Ol Olmoyd Vashoriz Bakoydesh. The Rashi writes, what do you mean Asher Yobo Ol Olmoyd Vashoriz Bakoydesh? Means the one who goes to avoid is Yom Kippur and Menek Sheir El Abo. So why does the Prophet describe it in such a roundabout way? It says, Shibat Yom Yom Vashom HaKohen Tachtob in Bonam, who will be appointed as the Tengolo. Why do they describe the Tengolo that he's the one who goes to avoid on Yom Kippur? The front of the writer, you understand very well why it's talking about a din in Tengol. It's a din in Avodah Yom Kippurim. That Mechatchila, the Tengol who does the Avodah Yom Kippurim, should have had either Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha for 7 days, or should have had Meruba B'Gadim for 7 days in advance. But for all year long purposes, just to determine whether he's the Tengol or not, is he allowed to wear the Shemayin B'Gadim and do Avodah? He can do Avodah from day number one. That's how they write it home. No. The Gemara says like this, there's a third way to make a tangol. The Gemara says there are three ways. One way to make a tangol is like the Mashiach, that's the whole Bayit Rishon until the days of Yeshua Melech. Then you have a group of Gordon. Then the Gemara says, what do you do on Yom Kippur if the tangol gets a heart attack and he drops dead or whatever, he gets sick, in the middle of the day, and you're up to that set of the Avodah that the tangol is supposed to wear the Avodah Gordon. So what are you going to tell the new Tengadol? You're going to appoint the new Tengadol? Tell him that Merub of Gadim, tell him to wear the big Dekun of Gadolah. But what do you mean tell him to wear the big Dekun of Gadolah? The big Dekun of Gadolah now is the same as the big Dekun Hedya. There's nothing different. So the Gemara says, Avedosan Echam Chosan. Let him do the Avedis Tengadol. Let him do the Avedis Tengadol, because that'll make him into a Tengadol.
What?
The Tengadol who took sick or who died, whatever, is up to that stage in the Avodah where the next step is supposed to just wear Avodah Gadim. So the new fellow is going to take over, he's going to wear Avodah Gadim. So that's the same Avodah Gadim that he wears all year long. No, the opposite scenario, that's in the Shlomo B'Gadim. That's one suggestion. The other suggestion is no. The one answer, the one suggestion among you, let him wear the Shlomo B'Gadim and do some Avodah or another. Let him argue the other answer, no, but let him wear the Avodah B'Gadim and do an Avodah for which you do need a Tengadol. So do the next step of the Avodah. And just like there's a din that Avodah Mechan Chosin by the Kalim, so Avodah Mechan Chosin of the Tengadol. There's a third way to make a person into a Tengadol. One is Mashiach, one is Merubah B'Gadim. One is by doing an Avodah that needs a Tengadol. So that'll make him into a Tengadol. That's a different suggestion. Yes,
Shmuel.
Ah, the Talmud Gemara was working on the assumption that that the only way to be the Kuna in order to do Avodah. Then how does the Rambam leave that tomorrow? I don't know. Okay. That's it. How does the Rambam understand it tomorrow? There is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raizis. In the beginning of Perek Daled in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, the Rambam quotes that Rambam quotes in the Gemara in Yume that when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, a lot of things were missing. So one of the things that was missing was that the Urim the Tumim didn't answer. There was no Nevuah, and there was no Ruach HaKodesh in Bayis Sheni, and the Urim the Tumim didn't answer. So what do you mean the Urim the Tumim didn't answer? But the Rambam understands that when they had the Choshen with the stones on the outside, they had the Urim Tumim was the piece of parchment inside. They had the Shem HaMeforish written on it. They had that in Bayis Sheni also. they should lay your hand because of the garden. Look, you have to wear the Shemayna begadim of the Kangaroo. Lahaya osim osim ela lahashkulim shmeinim gadim lekangaroo. Today shalai yehem mechus to the garden. That's the first, the end of halacha aleph and perek dalet and beis abchira. The Rambam writes that the urim betumim, which was in, had the shem amfarish inserted inside the choshen, was an essential part of the beged, and if they wouldn't put in the urim betumim, the beged would be incomplete. So if the beged would be incomplete, the kangaroo would be in mechus to the garden. But the whole Baisheni, they had the Urim and Thummim, they just didn't answer. Maybe they knew it wasn't going to answer, so they never asked any questions. The Baisheni period is recorded in Tanakh that they would ask, should we go to war and so on. Baisheni, they never asked. So the Haile Shalabran, they didn't ask. They write it here, some of Rome, the Halo Urim and Thummim, the Roch HaKodesh Nei Dvarim Heim in HaKamisha, Shechatsu B'Baisheni. Nora says in the end of the first paragraph that there were five things that were missing during the period of the Baisheni. The Navi Chagai says they should build a Beis HaMikdash, the Eretz Zabob Yikoso. I will be honored by the Beis HaMikdash that you will build in my, for me. And the word Yikovdo is written the Yikove, but it's a Greek city. You read it the Yikovdo. So the Gemara says, so why is it missing the Hay? To the Mirame, to the fact that there were Hamisha Dvarim that were missing in the Baisheni. Exactly what are the Hamisha Dvarim? So there are different versions and a different midrashim, different places where this passage is quoted, a different version. So the rabbi quotes the one version that two out of the five, there are two distinct things. Ruach HaKodesh was missing in Baisheni, and Urim Tumim was missing in Baisheni. These are clearly two things the rabbi asked, that the two things, so how did the Rambam say that there was Urim Tumim? If they wouldn't have had the Urim Tumim in the Choshen, then it wouldn't be considered a full beged. It wouldn't be considered a choshen, and then the kangaroo would be in the place of the grubbin. So they write and ask, if they had the Urim and Thummim, just didn't answer, why didn't it work? Because they didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. So it's the same thing. It boils down to the same thing. So how do you count these as two things that are missing in Baisheni? The Ruach HaKodesh was missing, and the Urim and Thummim is missing. So he says, you see the Sefer from the Gemara, there was no Urim and Thummim. There was a choshen, but they didn't insert the Shem Amfarish to the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei written on the piece of parchment. They didn't have that. The Luz Varov, and according to the Rama, Mein Mela Echo, there's only one thing that was missing. Ruach HaKodesh, because since there was no Ruach HaKodesh, and they never asked the Urim and Thummim, because they knew it wasn't going to answer. So he says, the answer is, there was no Ruach HaKodesh, that was one thing, and there was the Urim and Thummim, is another thing. That piece of the Shem Amfarish was missing. Aye, then it's going to be Mechus to the garden. So he says, no. The Chis of the garden, Mishal Omar, what the Rambam was concerned with, that it's a problem, Mechus to the garden, ain't a klum, that's ridiculous. She'ain't on the Cheshbon HaBegadim. He says, the Urim and Thummim is not one of the Shemana Begadim. The Begin is the Choshen. The Choshen is the Begin. And the Choshen is a full Begin, but that's the Urim and Thummim. The Rambam, obviously, also understands that the Urim and Thummim is not one of the Begadim. The Rambam understands that the Choshen without the Urim and Thummim is incomplete. And the rabbi holds not so, that the placing of the Urim and Thummim inside the Choshen is only for the purpose of getting an answer. But if he's not going to answer anyway, so then there's no need to put in the Urim and Thummim. It works without it. Now let's say you have a refrigerator that has an electric bulb inside. And in order not to make a mistake and open the refrigerator door on Shabbos, you take that, you have the bulb missing all the time. So the refrigerator is an incomplete refrigerator. The refrigerator is good. You don't want the bulb inside. There was a time that they manufactured refrigerators that had no bulbs inside. But now that they have the bulbs inside, you take out the bulbs. It remains like a refrigerator without a bulb. Something incomplete about the refrigerator. Nothing wrong. That's what the writer says. So you have a choshen that doesn't have an Urim and Thummim. The bus is. The writer says, not mechus to the garden, there's nothing missing. The Rambam holds not that a choshen without an Urim and Thummim is an incomplete choshen and it's going to be a mechus to the garden. It's not machlokes, it's Rashi and Tosfos also, not Gemara and Yuma. What does the Gemara mean when they said that the Kangaroo and the Baisheni didn't have the Urim and Thummim? It means that it didn't work, it didn't function. It means that they simply didn't put it into the beggar. In the Sefer HaTshuma, he quotes from the Sefer Shemusha Rabbah. Shemusha Rabbah was written in the period of the Gaon and has all of the dinim of Tzilin. How he's supposed to write Tzilin. Shorin quotes, all the Baal HaTzitz quotes from the Shemusha Rabbah, all the Hilchot Tzilin. Rosh quotes extensively from the Shemusha Rabbah. Moshe Rabbah makes his own Zereshov over here, that we don't have any other source. Maybe he had it. You know, they must have had traditions on this. But just like what does it say? That when they put in the Ur and the Tumim inside the Choshen, so as Merubah, Zeres Orkav, Zeres Rochboi. It was Merubah, and the Gemara says that Tfilin have to be Merubah. Tfilin Merubah is Halacha Moshe Mitzina. So you understand that there's a relationship between the Tfilin that has to be Merubah and the Choshen that has the Ur and the Tumim in it that has to be Merubah. So what's the relationship? But just like you have to have the 12 names of the Shvatim written on the Choshen, Lizikor and Lefnei Hashem, so too you have to have 12 stitches on the tomb. The Gemara says you have to have Tfiris, and the Gemara says the Tfiris have to be Merubah. But the Gemara doesn't say how many Tfiris you have to have. So that's what the Shemush Rabbi came up with this statement. And you have to have three tfilas on each of the four sides, that adds up to 12. And it's as a recurrence of the Yud Beis Shvatim, and it's based on this, that there's supposed to be a relationship, the kavana of the tfilas of the tzilin is supposed to be identical with the kavana of the choshen. Imam Yuma has a discussion, the Rambam has an ethic about this in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, about the spelling of the name on the Avnei HaEkos, the Avnei HaChoshen. So one opinion in the Gemara, the Rambam does not talk like this. But one time in the Gemara, Machlek Tatanoim, one time in the Gemara says that the name Binyamin is always spelled Choser. Except for the first time it appears when his name was given, and in the Kisol Dosam, because it says it was written Kisol Dosam, and Kisol Dosam doesn't mean in order of the age, the way they were born, but rather Kisol Dosam means that the name should be spelled here in the Choshen, and the Kisol Dosam the same way it was spelled when they were born. It goes on the spelling, not on the Seder. That the name Binyamin should be spelled Mole, the Rambam passes against that. He writes, Binyamin was written Chotah, Beis Nun, Yud, Mem Nun. Binyamin. And Kolot HaRekulot assumed that it wasn't written Chotah, except the first time when he was born it's written Mole. And the Shaila is here, in the Kisul Seifot, was it written Mole or not? But that's the Machlokes HaTanah. The Rambam says no. The Rambam passes no. The Rambam writes regarding the stones in the Choshen that they were all square in shape. Both of the Tachanim don't know exactly where the marker is. I think the Mishlam Melech comes to that. He doesn't know. There are a lot of things that we don't know what that is. The Rabbi has come some of the things. The Achronim has come some of the other things. We don't know exactly where the marker is. Achronim have a discussion on the Gemara if the Rashbo's opinion is correct that there's no problem of Chatzitza and Shal Rosh, there's only a problem of Chatzitza and Shal Yad. So why does the Gemara say Tzairo Hayaner Ben Tzitzin Mitznefesh Yisham Hayaminiach Tzilin? Why does it say that he put the Tzilin on the spot in between the tzitz is either over here, and then he put the Tzilin behind him, and then the Mitznefesh behind it? Why didn't he put the tefillin on top of the mitznefesh? There's no din of chatzitza, so why couldn't he put the tefillin on top of the mitznefesh? So the Achronim have different suggestions. Some want to say because the mitznefesh is one of the big dikuna, has a higher level of kedusha than the tefillin. Proof the Gemara has. That's not a good thing. No. The Gemara says the tzitz had a higher level of kedusha than the tefillin. The Gemara says when the Kohanim would be duchanim, so the Kohen had yet to pick up his hands to duchan like this when he was kapayim. And the Kohen wasn't permitted to pick his hands up above the tzitz because the tzitz had kedusha. It's a very unclear Gemara. The Gemara thinks that the tzitz had more kedusha than the tefillin shalom. But it doesn't really say that the mitznefesh had more kedusha. Anyway, the rest of some Achraim want to suggest that the Tangoro Mitzad Hilchas Chatzitz in this Tfilin, it really wouldn't bother me perhaps if he was put the Tzilin Shalosh on top of the Mitznefes, but it's not that Acher. It's like putting a Gemara on top of the Sefer Torah. If you say Torah has much more Kedusha than a Gemara, so you're not allowed to say it. You're not permitted to put a Tzilin Shalosh on top of the Mitznefes, because the Mitznefes has a higher level of Kedusha. And others give a different suggestion, depending on what was the nature of the mitznefes. If you learn like the Rambam and the Ravid, the Rambam says the mitznefes and the mikvahs were both big turbans that were very long. And the Ravid says, no, the mikvahs was a yarmulke, a dunce cap or something. But the mitznefes was a long turban that they wrapped around for the... So Achraim have such a Drasoveshik used to stress this. Let's say if you hold there's no din of chatzitza by shalosh. A guy has on a big turban, he's going to put on the shalyad up here, 3 inches above his head. So you say there's no din of chatzitza, it doesn't bother me. So you said it's a double pasha, but that's not what it means. It means if you have a thin yarmulke, like we wear such a yarmulke, and you put on the shalosh over here, when you tap the shalosh a little bit, so you can touch, you can feel the top of the head, can sense that the tefillin is there. By just tapping the tefillin a little bit, you can feel that it's there. Even with the chatzitz, you can feel that it's there. But then there's one opinion in the Rishonim that we don't follow. There's one view that there's no din of chatzitz on shalosh. So if the guy's wearing such a big turban and he's going to wear the tefillin shalosh on top of the turban, but even if he's going to tap the tefillin shalosh, he won't be able to sense it at all. He won't have any sensation on top of his head that he has the tefillin shalosh on top. It's 2 inches above, or 1.5 inches above. There's no shaykhus at all. But that l'chola days would not be different. So if one should understand the way the Rambam and the Ravid do, that the mitznefes of the Tangora was a big turban, a big thing, 32 amos long, the Rambam and the Ravid. And went around and around and around and around. That's a big thing. So then l'chola days there would be a problem of chatzitz. You wouldn't be able to put the tefillin shalosh on top of such a turban. At the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, the Torah tells us that in addition to going to mikveh, and in addition to the Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishchan, in addition to putting on the big dekuna, part of the mekadesh of the Bnei Aharon was that they had to bring special korbanim. Zeh dovah shetasa lohem, mekadesh ha'isam l'chayim li, l'kach parecha ben bokor, etc. They had to bring special korbanim for the occasion. So the Torah says that when they were doing the tnufa on these special korbanos, they all did the tnufa. This is already a yetzim in a cloud. There's a perceptor, I think it's in an office, but a perceptor draws this contrast between these korbanos and all other korbanos that are offered. But there are sometimes the other korban that's brought to shufis by a few bali ha-korban, and then the Gemara says, echod meinif ha-idei kulam. If you have a korban ashutim, only one person does tnufa. You don't have one person, let's say they're both shutim, you don't have one person do tnufa, then the second bala korban does tnufa, then the third, let's say a korban shlomim. You're supposed to do tnufa on the chaz of the shay. So, and a korban shlomim can be brought to shutim, let's say 10 people want to join together. So that they should all do tnufa the last half of all 10 partners in the korban shlomim. Should do tnufa the last half of the Gemara says that's impossible because it's going to be a chatitza. It's not shy. How my hands are chatitza between your hands and the chaz of the shay, and to do tenufa b'zeh hazeh, so no one will be chosid between anybody else's hands in the chaz of the shay, is also not. But we learn from the pasuk that you only do one tenufa. So the Gemara says, echad meinif ha'idei kulam. Only one does the tenufa, and they're all yet to the dead. Here it says the parish that they all did the tenufa. It says they all did the smicha also. Some chaharon avonim k'zeh ma'rosh oil. Let's say in that case, when you bring a korban shlamim that's brought by 10 partners, so how do you do the smicha? So the Gemara says you cannot have all 10 do the smicha b'vatz achas because it's going to be chatzitza. When you do the smicha, you have to put your both hands b'shtei adayim on the korban, on the rosh hakorban, and you cannot have anything choices in between your hand and the rosh hakorban. So if I come together with 9 other partners and I bring a korban shlamim, so if they're all going to try to do chatzitza b'vatz achas, their hands are going to be chatzitza. They're all going to try to do the smicha b'vatz achas. So the other 9 people's hands will be a chatzitza between my hand and the rosh of the korban. So that's what the Gemara says with respect to smicha. They cannot all do the smicha b'vatz achas. And here you don't have any zeret ha-kosim that says you can only do one smicha. The Gemara says each one does smicha b'fnei atzmo. So that's the question. Have the Aaron of Onos, the Samcha, Aaron of Onos today, and Al Rosh HaOil, when they did the smicha, how did they do it? Did they do it the Gach Hazeh, so that's what they write it in the Tivish and the Torah Kohanim on Parshas, later on Parshas Tzav, I think at the end of Parshas Tzav, when it says that they brought the Korbanim, so they write it right, that that's probably the way they did it, the same way the Dinesh required the Zeres, the Smicha of the Zeh Hazeh. So Rav Belval Soloveitchik suggested maybe one can say not like the Rabbi. Maybe one can say that just like it says the Rabbi has no mocha, you don't know. But he said just like we see in the Tosef, the Tosef points it out. You see the Hunish, you don't even need a Tosef. But the Tosef points out that these Korbanos, these special Korbanos, the Zeh Shepatzavah and the Kadoshoytim, the Kach Ben Boker, etc., this was a special din that they all do Tenufo. What do you mean they all do tenufa? But normally you have a din ena meina for chayzer meina. You can only have one tenufa on any given carbon. Back and over here did a lot of tenufas. So Ravelva thinks maybe the pshat is that over here they all did the tenufa together and they all did the smicha together. Manishtana. This is maybe the verse is like this: when 10 people who happen to be friendly, they're all classmates. They go to university together. They learn the yeshiva together. Whatever. So they all decide they want to chip in, they want to buy one carbon shlom together. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Zelazon, 10 people all decide to come together. So what chances do they have with each other? It's just coincidental. They all decide they want to chip in order to save money, so each one will just pay one-tenth of the price of the carbon. So just since it's only coincidental, Mikir again, I have nothing to do with you as the Balakam, you have nothing to do with me, each one is separate. But that's what the Gemara says, that if we'll all do Smicha the Vasachas, we'll all do Shnufa the Vasachas, the other fellow's hands, there's got to be a Chatzik between my hands and the Rosh HaKorban, and between my hands and the Chazan HaShayt, and doing the Smicha and doing the Shnufa. Because we really have nothing to do with each other. I'm an independent Balakam, you're an independent Balakam, you could have brought the Korban without me, I could have brought it without you, and we chose to save money and bring it to Shutzik. But over here, Aharon Avonav, if they wanted to, they couldn't have brought each one a separate set of Korbanos. The Hirasha was that they all have to be Shutzim together and this one carbon. It's not just to save money. It's not for convenience purposes. Kach Nemar Halacha, they all have to bring together. So he said, maybe therefore there's no problem of Chatzitza. It's all one big Bala carbon, all five together. Aharon and his four sons, not about the Elohim and Sama, all five together constituted one Chalashem of Bali HaKorban. So since it's one Bali HaKorban, so what he's going to say, his hands are Hasid between my hands and the Korban. His hands are like my hands. For purposes of the Smicha, for purposes of the Tenufa, it's one unit of a Bali HaKorban. So he said that maybe that's the reason why the Tosefta points out that this was an exception to the rule regarding Tenufa, namely that they all did Tenufa, not that they did Meina for Chayzer Meina. No, the Din Lazarus is applied here as well. You don't have Meina for Chayzer Meina. There's only one Tenufa, but the one Tenufa that they did was done, all of them together. So Mehai Taima, maybe the Raiva is not right. Maybe the Pshat is that they all did the Smicha of Asacha. Ivy Gemara says that it's going to be a problem of Chatzitza. If you have all of the Bnei Achabura, one of the Smicha of Asacha, that's by all the Korbanos. Because each one is an independent Bala Korban, so the other one's hands are a Chatzitza between mine hands and the Korban. But over here, where they weren't, it wasn't just coincidental that you had five Bali HaKorban. Kach Nemar Halacha, that these five constitute one unit of Bali HaKorban, one Chetz of Bali HaKorban. So maybe here they did this Smicha B'Vasacha. That's his suggestion. They have in the Shiurim on the Gemara that Rav Avola suggested that shot. Maybe he said not like their rising. This is not a carbon tree. This is a carbon yachid. Not a carbon tree. One thing in common. Okay, there's one thing in common with a carbon tree, but it's basically not a carbon tree. Eddie Johnson in the Hagdamah to his Sefer has a comment on the Parsha in Sefer Shmuel that we read for HaFerah this Shabbos. that when Shaul HaMelech violated the Tivri HaNavi of Shmuel HaNavi that he should kill all of the Amalekim, how did he defend himself? Why didn't he kill all the Amalekim? So he says, Shamati b'kol Hashem, Shamati, I did exactly the mitzvah. I mean, he did the mitzvah, he left Amalekim alive. He says he was afraid of the people. Because he was afraid. So how does he have the chutzpah? How does he have the goal to say Shamati b'kol Hashem? He listened to the Dvashem. He didn't listen to the Dvashem. How did he say this? So then he goes to the Hazar Harifah Zikr Pshat. He says that the mitzvah Mechiyas Amalei only applies when you have a melech. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Gimel Mitzvah Mitzav Yisrael that Mitzav Melech Laham Laham Melech Lachan Zar Shal Amalek Lignes Laham Beis Abchir has to go in that order. So if you don't have a melech, then there's no mitzvah Mechiyas Amalek. That's why they didn't do Mechiyas Amalek until they appointed Shol. They had Sholkin for many years until they had a melech, and then once they had a melech, then there's a mitzvah Mechiyas Amalek. What happens if the melech is impeached? What happens if you fry the melech, it becomes ois melech? The Mishnah talks about such a thing, al tizin. The special karbonis that the melech brings is he sins the shegeh, but the Mishnah talks about a person who sinned when he was a melech, and then he was fired from his position before he brings the karbon. He sinned before he was a melech, and then he has to bring the karbon after he was appointed a melech. So what karbon does he bring? The shtani dina, what karbon does he bring? So there is such a thing as mitzmanah repair, it's mitzmanah repair. The melech can be fired. So what happens is if you had a melech and the melech was commanded to wipe out Amalek, and then the melech lost his job, he was impeached. Oh, he's melech. So he's no more melech. So there's no mitzvah mechiyas Amalek. So that's what the Rinne Gyantef has an interpretation on the post. There is a Gemara in the Talmud Yerushalmi where it says that David HaMelech was running away from his son Avshalom. Avshalom is trying to kill him, trying to kill his own father. So David HaMelech was running away for 6 months. So the Gemara says in Yerushalmi, during those 6 months that he was running away, he didn't have the Din Melech. If he would have been the Chal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he would have brought the regular Kizbo Sira. He wouldn't have to bring the Sawyer Nasi. If the Nasi means either the Melech, Nasi refers to the Melech. If the Melech is Chal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he has to bring a Sawyer. But what happens is when he was Chal Shabbos, he was the Melech, and he was running away from enemies, he was afraid. So the Yerushalmi says he's miskaper the Sira. He doesn't have to bring a son. So the Rinne Gyantef says in the Havdomah, so what does that mean? That the Melech only has the Chal Hashem Melech when he's in charge, when he's ruling the people. So that's what Shaul HaMelech said, Ki Areitia Ta'om Vashma Mekorlam, I was afraid of the people. The minute he was afraid of the people, he was Eis Melech. Once he's Eis Melech, he's not Mekhuyif to wage the war against Amalek anymore. So he was right when he said, he fulfilled the Ratzon of Hashem. Shamai to be called Hashem. When he started wiping out Amalek, he was Shamai to be called Hashem. And then in the middle of the war, when the people said, let's not kill all the people, and he was afraid, but then he lost the status of Amalek. So from that point on, there was no more mitzvah mechiyas Amalek. The Navi was angry at him. Why? He was afraid. So that's the time. What? You had no right to be afraid. But since you lost your status of Melech, due to your own fault, that's why he's being punished. But he's not going to punish him over the fact that he didn't wipe out all of the rest of Amalek. He wasn't a chuyis. A harif is zikr pshat. Ki areisi asam v'eshma b'kerem. The Minchas Chinuch raises an objection against Rashi and the Rambam. A few Rishonim say that the mitzvah l'doris of mechiyas Amalek means not only that you have to kill Tinchas Zech Amalek, you have to kill the men, the women, the children, you have to kill the behemoth, you can't take anything out from Amalek. Rashi quotes, Rashi and Ram have the same thing. You're not allowed to let the animals stay alive. And they bring the riot, that's exactly what Shmuel told Shaul HaMelech. He has to kill out all of the behemoths, everything has to kill. So the Minchas Chinuch raises an objection, maybe that was only HaRasha, maybe that's not the Din HaDoros. Maybe the Din HaDoros only applies to killing the people. And not allowing the behemoths, maybe that was the Hirosha regarding Shaul. I remember many years ago, one of my rabbeim in the yeshiva suggested that according to the Minchas Tinach, we understand very well the Lashon HaPasuk called Dalet in the Haftarah. Shol says Vigui. They say, Vayoma Shol Oshmo Chatosi Ki Avati Esti Hashem V'yesu Varecha. Ki Aresi Esom V'yeshma V'kron. It says, he did a double out there. Avati Esti Hashem and Avati Esti Varecha. Oizal Dibay Novi. Avati Esti Hashem means that he violated the Din D'Araisa. And then when he says, Avarti Yezu Arecha, they say, Avarti Yezu Arecha, he violated the Hirosh Shoah. What were the two things he violated? He let some of the people alive. So that was in violation of the Din HaTorah. Din Chezech Amog, you have to kill the people. Avarti Yezu Arecha, he was there, Avarti Yezu Novi. The Novi told him you should kill the behemoth. Because if you hold that killing the behemoth is part of the Din L'Dorit, so then there was no Avarti Yezu Novi. Avarti Yezu Novi, listen, the Novi tells me I should like to kill him today. It says in Chumash I should like to. If I don't like to, I'm not going to lichai misa v'dei shamayim. Where about divrei Novi? Lichai misa v'dei shamayim is only if the Novi tells me to do a hayrasha. But if the Novi tells me keep Shabbos the Shabbos, lein parshin zocher the Shabbos, he's giving a musa shmuz. That's not called where about divrei Novi. Where about divrei Novi only applies if it tells me a new hayrasha of the Torah in the world. So the fact that Shaul says avarti asi Hashem yes devarecha sounds a little bit. The mashmor says that he violated a real din derayis and he violated also a hayrasha. So if you say like the Minhas Tinach, we understand the Hirasha was to kill the behemoth. But the Rishonim say not so. The Rav Soloveitchik many years ago said that it was forbidden for Medinas Yisrael to take the reparations money from Germany. He thought that the Nazis had a din of Amalek, that Amalek doesn't only apply to those who are biological descendants from the original Amalek. He said his grandfather said like that. That's what they quote B'Shem HaKayim. He held that any nation, that any group of people who set out as their policy to wipe out the entire Jewish nation have the din of Amalek, and once they have the din of Amalek, so it's not only Hirashua, it's the din of Deris, that you're not allowed to take the behemoth or anything that belongs to them, any money that came from them. Rabbi even thought reparations money, just taking back the money that they stole from the Jews, and they still didn't pay back. Still didn't pay back all the money that they stole from the Jews. He held that that's also awesome. He thought that it was prohibited. But then years later he said, obviously he wasn't right. He said, obviously he wasn't right because history showed that they really needed all the reparations money because all the highways in Israel were built with the German reparations money and it was so important in the development of the Medina. So apparently he was wrong. Question, he was wrong on which point? There were a lot of assumptions that he made. He made an assumption that the Nazis had a din of Amalek. They made an assumption that the din of Darius is not like the Minhas Tinach. The din of Darius applies even to the behemoth. The din of behemoth is the din of Darius. And behemoth is not all the behemoth. It even goes on money. And then if assumption number three was that it even applies to reparations money. If Amalek stole $5 billion from me, then I can't get back the money that he stole from me. It's also included in the din of Amalek. The Rambam does not write. The Rambam writes regarding the Shiva Umas, it's part of Ovad Zichron. On Amalek he doesn't write. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, just like the Rambam said regarding Shiva Umas, part of Ovad Zichron, both Nachev and Bilbo, it's all on Kulay. The Sefer HaChinuch said the same is true regarding Amalek. But the Rambam himself did not write that. So that's what led Rav Chaim to say this idea, that any nation that will have the same position as Amalek, the same policy to kill all of the Jewish people, has the same din as Amalek. That's our time set of based on that.
West Germany have a din of
Nazis. Germany.
West Germany
have a din of Nazis. All things that is very, very questionable.
Why don't the world go around smashing every Volvo and everything from Germany, smash up to nothing in
The money that we're giving back to Torah is Nazi money. So we're saying that this is the money that the Nazis stole from the Jews, so we want to give back the money that they took. The Volvo and the Mercedes is not the Torah, it's Nazi money. Maybe that's the difference. I don't know. We have to be Mevar a little more. These Dinim of Amalek. Okay. Rabbi Nachman Zender's son has in his little country, Gur Aryeh Yehuda, has a whole section about some issues of Amalek. Raises some mushak.